If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you have some interest in education and play-based learning. You're probably also familiar with the fact that teaching children through memorization methods and standardized testing is not the way to go. Enter Bo Stiene Thompson, the vice president and the chair of Learning Through Play at the LEGO Foundation. In this episode, we touch on many subjects. Much of this discussion focuses on bringing play to low-income communities and the importance of blowing up assessments as we know them. So, without further ado, let's get into it. You know them, you love them, and you've dropped four-letter words at some point because you've accidentally stepped on them. Legos. Yes, those Legos. Our guest today is from the LEGO Foundation, and the LEGO Foundation is on a mission. Now, we know that play-based learning is incredibly beneficial to children. That's a fact. It's a strong statement to make, but a true one. Another true statement, there are educational discrepancies in the world, and today's guest really wants to help bridge that gap with play-based learning.
So, my name is Bo Stiene Thompson. I'm the chair of Learning Through Play in the LEGO Foundation.
Bo CV, or resume for our listeners in the States, is wild. We had a virtual discussion across the pond because he's currently in Boston as a visiting scholar at Harvard. He actively writes as the chair of Learning Through Play and is just genuinely passionate and interested in play-based learning.
My interest in play-based learning, or learning through play as you begin to articulate it, is from my background in design-based research and the industry of architecture and technologies and robotic systems. I figured out that when I was developing something new, whether it was a design piece, furniture, lighting systems, or buildings, or embedded robotic systems, actually, when I was creating something new, I also learned a lot. You had to find new information, you had to figure out new ideas, you had to come up with new solutions to challenging problems. So that actually means that these kind of processes where you engage in uncertainty, design, are creative and so forth, is actually something where you are playing because you're testing and trying out things, but you also learn a broad range of skills and knowledge while you do that. And then later that led into my PhD work at the MIT Media Lab, where I studied the relationship between physical environments and objects, our relationships and how we learn. So I was particularly fascinated at the implications of manipulation of objects. What does it mean to create and make things, and what do we learn? And then lastly, I came into the LEGO company at a point where there was a huge interest in bridging the research, the academic expertise, and getting that into practice. So my key interest in learning through play is to make sure that we can make use and implement the vast amount of knowledge that exists on child development and play and learning, and make it of good use in education, but in new products and in changing educational systems.
Bo is a big deal in this field. I mean, he's got a PhD where he studied the relationships between physical environments and how we learn, and did work at MIT on the subject. Bo, you're adequately prepared to answer this. What is learning through play in your words?
When we talk about learning through play, the key starting point is that we learn throughout life. And what's most critical is that we not only think about learning as academic and knowledge, but it's really about a broad range of skills that we need. We need to learn to be more creative, to be collaborative, to be critical thinkers, because that's what we need in the workplace. That's what we need in real life. And play is an ultimate vehicle for learning not only knowledge, but a range of different skills. So when we learn through playing, it's not only about the activity. We usually tend to think that you go outdoor and climb trees, or you do sports, or you play games, or you build the Lego bricks. All of these are great playful activities. But what's unique about learning through play is a few key characteristics which transcends any kind of activity in your life, which means that you are active, not passive. That you are testing and trying out things in your environment that are inherently interesting to you, meaningful to you, and that you really enjoy that process, which sometimes is alone and sometimes with others. So what really is learning through play is that you can develop a range of different skills and knowledge by being actively engaged in testing and trying out things. And that's something that happens from early years into schools and into adult life.
So let's sum that up quickly. Bo and I are talking about the same topics. We're just calling it a different name. Here at That's Child's Play, we call it play-based learning, and the LEGO Foundation calls it learning through play. He's saying there's a few characteristics inherent to play-based learning. First is that you are actively doing something, testing and trying things out. And the second is that you are enjoying the process. What you're doing is fun and doesn't feel like what we typically associate with academic learning. Third is that you're developing skills and knowledge. Think about when you were a kid playing with something like, well, Legos. Sure, on the outside, it can look like not much is being learned, but when you're a super little one, you're learning fine motor skills. When you're a little older, you're learning about problem solving by putting the pieces together. And as you get even older, things like design, narrative telling, structure building, and a plethora of other little things that really, really add up. And the thing is, when people study the way children learn, it's kind of incredible the sheer amount of skills and processes they're able to glean by just being children. The LEGO Foundation owns 25% of LEGO and has a comprehensive research base and network. They've worked in over 20 countries to change the systems and ways of thinking about education. Bo, I'm just curious. LEGO Foundation wants to essentially change the world and the way we think about education. How do you go about achieving those goals?
So we work with parent engagement strategies, which means how do we practically support parents with activities in their daily life where they can have opportunities to have greater social interactions with their children. So what can they do if they only have 10 minutes, half an hour? What can they do to take a new way, a new route on the way to school, to be a little playful with what the things you do in your everyday life? What can you do when you are baking or making breakfast and so forth? Can you change one ingredient in your meal to invite children into that process? So it's all about parent engagement strategies that actually supports their understanding that positive, responsive, interactive relationship with children is something that not only values the children's development and learning, but also themselves. And then we work with teachers. So there are two strands of our work with teachers. One is on teacher education, and one is on teacher professional development. And in many ways, teachers are doing an extraordinary good job, and they really know what does it mean to teach and the pedagogies. But sometimes we also have learned to teach only through instruction, to convey knowledge through one end of the classroom. And what seems to be changing right now is we need to think about a broader range of skills and more interactive and innovative pedagogies. So what we're really supporting in a teacher education is play labs. So in Denmark, for instance, we have physical hands-on materials in the teacher colleges where teachers can learn to also handle uncertainty, to develop their own activities, to use materials and technologies in new ways.
And these labs aren't only in Denmark. The LEGO Foundation also supports teachers in impoverished areas using play labs. In 2016, they had an initiative that created 120 play labs in Bangladesh, Tanzania, and Uganda, all of which were made to promote early childhood play-based education.
And then in teacher professional development, here we support ways to engage teachers in using their everyday materials, particularly for guidance. One of the challenges sometimes in education is we think about learning and teaching as either instruction or free play. In the classroom, or when we really need to convey something that's really important in the curriculum, you instruct things, and then you give children free choices to go out on the playground. But actually where the research serves the most values is in guidance. It's in the middle. So where you stage particular key challenges, the key problems for children and students to think about, but the students can approach that with multiple strategies. Or it's experiential learning, where you take children outdoors or explore a particular topic where they do the research there, and then they figure out and reflect with the children on what are the kind of strategies to learn from these type of experiences. So it's merely about embracing a full spectrum from instruction to games to guidance and free play in the pedagogy.
Do you like walk the walk and talk the talk when it comes to learning through play? Like, do you have children that you implement playful learning with?
Absolutely. I find great opportunity and joy in using these strategies for my children, but I also learn a lot from my own children. And I think that's the most important as a parent. It is to keep being curious and open-minded to the opportunities that exist around you. Sometimes we get stuck in a certain mindset of a structure or things we have to do, but you're not really good at looking at opportunities and trying new things. So I get a lot from being inspired by my own children.
As mentioned, part of the LEGO Foundation's work is research, and one of the research areas they're working on right now is measuring the effectiveness of play-based learning. But why has this become a priority for the LEGO Foundation?
Measuring is so critical right now to our work for a few different reasons. I think the starting point is that in order to convince adults and systems, particularly educational systems and policymakers who make decisions on behalf of a lot of different people, the key thing that seems to be really getting at the core of this in measurement is to measure and appreciate the joy of learning. We want to have tangible, ideally quantifiable outcomes, but what seems to be a relationship between what is pre and post and can be tested to what really matters right now is something like the joy of learning. And it's a characteristics we look at right now. So actually we have a rubric where you can observe directly, are children curious? Are they attentive to exploring things around them? Are they actually having pleasure in overcoming things that are difficult? That's the greatest joy of learning, is when you try things, you're not really sure how it works, and suddenly you succeed with it. But also practically, are you actively engaged? Are you actually manipulating things? Are you touching things? Are you testing and trying out what works? To build a tower, you know, and trying to build it again, but in a new way. And what kind of language do you use? So very specifically, we have with five characteristics of how children learn through play, we look directly at observations and strategies that you can support that directly with children.
Measuring the joy of learning. I'm sold. Bo also mentioned the five characteristics of learning through play, and these are explicitly laid out by the LEGO Foundation. The characteristics are 1, actively engaging, 2, meaningful, 3, socially interactive, 4, joyful, and 5, iterative. The idea isn't that playful learning should be all 5 at the same time, but rather that in order to successfully learn through play, they should be present in some form or fashion. Now let's talk about testing. Standardized testing is something that most teachers just straight up don't like, but they find it is a necessary evil in order to benchmark where students are and where students are going. Bo, you touched on standardized testing and how it isn't necessarily the best way to assess students. Has the research found better alternatives?
That's a very good question. I think it's very important to understand that the kind of standardized tests that exist, for instance, in school, are probably useful for someone, but it's not supportive of children's learning. Assessment that supports children's learning are the things that children understand. It's integrated as part of the things you teach, and it's actually a thing that children sometimes develop themselves. So we have quite some studies around assessment, how it supports learning, and children actually enjoy different types of assessments, and they enjoy assessing each other. But the ways they do that is that they develop a project, or they draw something, or they build something, and they take a picture of it and show it to others, and they give feedback. So that process of assessment is actually more formative. It's part of the process, and that's the thing that supports learning. But actually, when we talk about integrated assessment, we just need a range of other ways to assess and talk about learning. So for instance, we usually do these kind of worksheets and multi-testing in standardized rubrics and so forth. Actually, children can develop their own rubrics. They can like test each other, say, what did you learn here? And then do their own kind of rubrics. And that's the most conducive to learning, is that when you invent your own kind of tests and have fun with different ways you can use that. So the new technologies like Kahoot and other technologies are actually where children use it themselves and just test and try it out during the classes. We need to move from standardized tests in small units of a particular narrow content 2 times a year to really think about how it supports how children learn and the many different ways that children can be assessed and can learn.
Okay, yeah, that's a fascinating concept, that assessments are not purely for measurement, but that also students can assess each other. But in doing that assessing and creating their own rubrics and whatnot, it's a huge learning opportunity in itself. Now, the LEGO Foundation works in over 20 countries worldwide, but has what they call focused geographies. And those are in Denmark, Mexico, South Africa, and Ukraine. Bo, can we walk through how these locations were chosen? It's a diverse group of countries, and it seems like they'd have a unique set of challenges in themselves.
Yeah, the LEGO Foundation, we have focused geographies where we have offices, obviously in Denmark, but also in Mexico, South Africa, and Ukraine. And they basically originate from having strong partners where we not only would know that we could have a diverse experience of the environments where we could support. So we are interested in operating in a diverse settings that is beyond the focus of the company to really understand what works in different contexts. In that case, Mexico and South Africa and Ukraine were places where we had strong partners. We knew they had really strong insights on ground, but they would be also very different in the context in which they operated. We also work in 20 more countries. These are just the main geographies where we can create systems change, where there's a transformation opportunity across the educational system, the governments, to teachers and parents. So there's a kind of openness to a change across the educational system, touching parents and teachers and so forth. But in reality, where we operate in more than 20 countries is where the real needs are. We have to be out there and demonstrate and test out how this works with access and quality where it's most difficult. So in that case, we work in setting from refugee camps to areas of migration to low SES areas to also first Lego League and robotics.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult to communicate to, say, a less developed community that actually the thing that will help your education system is play. Not standardized testing, not lecturing young ones with books and rote memorization, but actually learning through play. How do you guys convince people that, play is the way?
That's a very good question. You know, being able to convince but also support governments and teachers and parents in implementing this is absolutely what's most important. I think the starting point in all of what we do is again to start with adults. And the big opportunity right now is to realize that if you look at the skills that are needed in the workforce, you know, that is about adaptability. It's about learning new things, unlearning other things. It's about being able to find alternative strategies when you are in an area of uncertainty or a time of uncertainty. What that means is that approaching uncertainty and being creative and adaptable is exactly what children are extremely good at. So the starting point for us is really to illustrate that the way children naturally learn is to explore things, to go in with a positive mindset and being curious. And that is an extraordinary opportunity that we can see from the science, that that's how we should naturally learn, both as adults and as young people and in the educational system. It also means that the second key thing is to change the understanding of what a good outcome is of the educational system. Because if parents and sometimes teachers are guided only by the standardized outcomes in the curriculum and the grades, we lose the whole point about learning being about excitement for learning and being ongoingly interested in keep learning new things. But it also misses the point that it's really about collaboration. It's about critical thinking. It's about coming up with alternative ideas.
Alternative ideas. It's kind of what this all boils down to, right? It's a hard pill to swallow that by allowing kids to be kids, they'll learn more. And so essentially what the LEGO Foundation is doing is using existing organizations like the OECD to get the message across.
So we are focused on changing the outcomes to not only knowledge, but broader skills focus and really having positive attitudes toward learning. So we work with OECD on the metrics for standard outcomes in education. We work with higher institutions. We work on with high schools to have more portfolio-based assessment. Because if we provide that kind of aspiration, it will trickle down all the way through the educational system. Because one of the main barriers, I would say, both across high socioeconomic groups and lower socioeconomic groups, is if the challenge is you want to get high grades to get into school or into higher education, then that will keep reinforcing many parents and teachers to focus on classic types of instruction and standardized outcomes. But if we say there are many paths to be successful in life and you have to have a broader range of skills, what it means is you will not only look for the grades, you will actually look for children's experiences. What are the particular things that they will write on their kind of portfolio to say, I actually helped someone, I worked in the community, I developed this new idea, I worked with these new people. And that's been much more important nowadays. We see both in the workforce, but also when you get into higher education.
What's something the LEGO Foundation is working on right now that has you excited on a personal level?
The key thing in our work right now is really about shifting education from being mainly about knowledge acquisition and linear instruction to be much more about an innovative, interactive process of learning. How can that equip children not only with a better understanding of the concepts and principles in the curriculum, but a much broader range of skills and this ongoing excitement for learning. So what we're really studying right now is, what are the barriers to get these types of pedagogies and principles into educational systems? And that is about changing assessments. It's about having visionary leaders with aspiration that is a little broader than just standardized educational outcomes. And then work really with teachers and parents to understand that there's more to learning than what goes on in the school. A second thing we are doing is really looking at the ways technologies are integrated now in everyday life. So we see, when we study children in a recent study across South Africa and the UK, we can see that children are using technologies in amazing new ways we haven't imagined. So this idea about screen and no screen is a little artificial. They draw things on paper, take a picture and share with their friends, or they make a little project and a document and upload and they manipulate it and comment on it. Or they make things in Minecraft or creative platforms where they actually collaborate, they comment, they discuss and so forth. And they actually, in many of these instances, technologies need to be active, not sitting passively. They need to be not sedentary and individual, but collaborative. And inherently about creative use of technologies, that's much more about finding your own ideas and personalizing them. So how do we make better use of technologies so it transcends across home and school and community? And then we're doing a range of other interesting projects in terms of really understanding, for instance, we know really well that Lego materials and all the science behind it in terms of a logic and reasoning and creative tool. There's also many opportunities to think about manipulatives in the role of language and literacy. So how can we think about materials when we support language development? And how can we think about the multiple ways that materials and hands-on learning support special needs? So we have a whole program on autistic children, on Braille, beginning to look into ADHD, because we need to diversify our education systems. And the key role, a key lever for that is play-based learning.
This holistic look at education is fascinating. And so is the idea of using play-based learning as a means to make education systems more inclusive and accessible to people around the world. I also was curious about the ways something like Lego products promote learning. So let's go into that a little bit.
So I think the key thing that comes out of the research is when children build and make things and stack towers, or they build different scenarios and role play, it's really about logic and reasoning. They quantify, they sort, they count. It's a starting point for mathematical thinking. All kind of research into understanding spatial understanding and forms and figures and so forth is a starting point for science and mathematics, which we can track into outcomes in school, but also later life in careers. So that's the starting point for it. And then it's really about, it's a highly engaging tool, active engagement, where one really enjoy challenges. That's also what we see in adults. They keep building with Lego bricks because they are interested in being challenged. They're interested in problem solving. They're interested in keep learning. What seems to be new areas here is really the social-emotional aspects of learning. So when you begin to add on top of block-based building, begin to add more emotional features to the figures you have, more stories, it's really about language development, it's about resilience, it's about collaboration. So that transcends into more social-emotional learning skills that we're looking at.
Well, it's become a tradition on the pod where I end by asking our guests something a child has asked that's left you shocked or laughing or questioning the meaning of life. What's your story?
That's a really interesting question. I think I look and I study, I must say also, my own children. And one situation I recall is my daughter, and I think it's a few years back, I think it probably she was 8, 7, and she was sitting with her iPad. And she just began to understand Siri and speaking to Siri as a semi-AI model on the iPad. And she began asking it questions. I think she started asking something like, what is the capital of Denmark? And she was able to respond or find this resource. And she was thinking about that, and then I was a few meters away. Then she asked, she looked across the room and then she asked Siri, what is my brother doing? And you can see she didn't know what to do that. But she was really curious about what are the limitations of that technology. And then she figured out that didn't really work. But then she asked, who killed my granddad's dog? And then I was thinking, okay, She actually began because like my father's dog was killed, unfortunately, in an accident. But she began to have these questions to technologies and see and really trying to reflect with them, what are the boundaries of technologies? What can they be used for? So I'm really impressed in which way children really explore the boundaries of anything that they have in their hands, everything they see, and actually they have quite complex reasoning skills to figure out what works and what it can be used for. And obviously I don't need to be around them, because then you have great conversations to say, why did you ask? What are the thinking around this and so forth? But they really try to explore and test out things. So that hugely inspires me in my everyday life.
Is there a message that you'd like to leave the audience with?
I think the key message is really to remember that adults can keep playing. Remember that it's not necessarily about climbing trees all the time, doing a lot of sports and so forth, but being active, engaged, and being curious and testing and trying out new things. If we have that state of mind as adults, we'll also keep learning and we'll keep being inspired by children and supporting children's development and learning. Play is always okay.
Play is always okay. Well, that is an excellent note to end it on. The LEGO Foundation has a wide range of resources. They have a playlist full of tons and tons of things that promote playing to learn at home. It's got ideas to test and trial and support parents. Bo also has a website with his research along with the LEGO Foundation website itself. All of these will be listed in the show notes. Bo, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you very much for all the work you're doing and also for doing this.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. If you liked what you heard and would like to support the podcast, consider giving us a review on Apple, a follow on Spotify, or doing whatever it is, wherever it is you're listening to help boost us in the algorithms. Transcripts and a blog post are available at kidescience.com, and the link to that can be found in the show notes. By the way, our DMs are open. You can send us a voice message at the link in the show notes. We have a newsletter at kidescience.com/newsletter and a Facebook group with tons of fun science experiments, classroom tips and tricks, and just a place to talk to fellow early STEAM teachers and parents, also listed in the show notes. Thanks again so much for listening to That's Child's Play. See you next time.